We welcome you all into the Arabian Sports Talk here on 91.7 WEEM. But once again, I'm Dawson Perrell.
I'm Emily Pulley.
And I'm Zion Palmieri.
And we will be talking all things sports here for the next about 20, 30 minutes or so, more specifically the NFL. Of course, week two is just in the books. Of course, we saw a weekend slate of matchups as well as a Thursday night game. So for today's episode, we'll be breaking down each of those games as well as maybe looking forward to week three. Of course, you got some very, very good games on the schedule for that. And maybe also taking a look at some of our fantasy football teams. We were talking about that before the episode really start before we started recording, but I'm going to start off here with just, again, overall what happened week two, some games that, you know, stood out. Personally, first thing I want to get started here is that Thursday night game. It was Minnesota at Philadelphia. Final score of that one was Philadelphia Eagles 34, Minnesota Vikings 28, and Vikings didn't look bad. I mean, you took down the Eagles to one score, and the Eagles, of course, are really considered the best team in the league, at least a lot of people are saying that, maybe behind the 49ers. It's an argument, but they're definitely up there, right? Kirk Cousins, phenomenal game, 31 for 44, 364 yards and four touchdowns. It's crazy how you can put up that stat line and lose a game. But then again, Minnesota had only nine carries in total. So they were definitely more of a passing team, and that definitely showed. But again, just couldn't pull away. That Philadelphia offense is really high-powered and it is stuffed. Tough to stop Jalen Hurts and the offensive lineman. That's what stood out to me from that game. The offensive line, the blocking was insane. I mean, DeAndre Swift, right? 28 carries, 175 yards and a touchdown, averaged 6.3 yards a carry. Yes, a lot of that credit has to go to Swift, but I think a large majority, in my opinion, has to go to the offensive line. At least how I was watching it, it felt like every single run of his, he had a gigantic hole, and all he needed to use was his acceleration, and he get a huge chunk. So again, great job to the Eagles. You start 2-0, tough for the Vikings, but you looked okay. I'm sure their wins are soon to come.
There was I don't know how many exactly, but there was a lot of fumbles from the Vikings from that game.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of ugly football. I mean, Kirk Cousins had four touchdowns, zero picks. That's a great game, 364 yards. That's a great game from him. But I don't want to say his team let him down, but they kind of did because they had a ton of fumbles. And then you mentioned that
four.
Eagles, four.
Yeah, four, yeah. Lost. Yeah.
That'll lose a game. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that Eagles offensive line. I mean, there's Jason Kelce, Jordan Mailata. Those are all veterans.
Lane Johnson. Yeah.
Lane Johnson. Does. They've been good for so long, and they're going to be good for a while. So that's how you win a game.
Mm-hmm.
It's Philadelphia.
Yeah. I think another thing that happened, with the Eagles, they had a lot more rushing yards.
Yeah.
Compared to the Vikings.
Yeah, again, Vikings are definitely sticking more to a passing offense, but I don't think that's necessarily to say that the Eagles aren't a passing offense, right? Because I think Jalen Hurts is so talented, but I just think that game would perfectly describe that football is a matchup game, and if it's working for you, stick to it. It doesn't matter what happened the rest of the season. In that game, if the run game is working for you, the Eagles had 48 carries. I'm sure that's probably the most carries they've had in a long time. They're more of a passing team, but just because it was working for them that night, they stuck with it, and that won them the football game. So we got started on a good note. I watched that game. I had Swift in my fantasy team, so I was a happy man. Two of my fantasy teams, in fact. I had in our league here, I had him on my bench, which is a bummer, but, you know, can't be perfect in all areas. So I was happy. I was happy that he had a good game, and then we're going to look more on the Sunday slate of games, starting off with a game that I want to focus on more, a very close contest and probably the game of the week in a lot of people's eyes heading into it. Kansas City at Jacksonville. Kansas City won that one 17-9, and Jacksonville, you know, you're often struggled. And I think what surprised a lot of people about this game is they were expecting high scoring, and you were really neither of the teams reached 20 points in total. What? Just quick maths here. Oh, man. 26 points totals scored by both teams, which is definitely not high. And I think a lot of people heading into this matchup thought it was going to be in the 20s because, you know, you got two high powered offenses with Patrick Mahomes, Trevor Lawrence, and Travis Etienne for the Jags, and a bunch of dogs. But, you know, defense has played well for both sides. And Patrick Mahomes, man, he looked good. 29 for 41, 305 yards, two touchdowns and an interception at a rating of 98.1. Trevor Lawrence, though, didn't have a pick, but didn't have a touchdown either. So, you know, again, a great job for the Chiefs. And although they're starting off 1-1, of course, they lost in their opening debut Thursday night on week one against the Lions. I think the Chiefs are still top three, if not the best team in the league, solely because of Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. That duo is just unreal.
what I saw from this game I liked was Isaiah Pacheco had 70 yards.
Yeah.
He got it going on the ground. And I like Pacheco. I have him in a fantasy, maybe two fantasy leagues. But he just hasn't had that chance yet. It's Patrick Mahomes, so that's a pretty pass heavy offense. But I mean, they spread the ball around pretty well. They didn't have a lot of the issues. I mean, Travis Kelce's back that they had in week one.
Mm-hmm.
But it was pretty nice. I mean, I'm of the opinion that defense wins championships, and it was just a defensive game. So,
yeah, you mentioned there Travis Kelce. In that game, he had 4 receptions, 26 yards, and a touchdown. Maybe not involved as he wanted to get. Of course, he had a touchdown there, so you can't really complain. And I guess a lot of fantasy managers can't complain, but I'm sure he'll be getting more and more targets each week. Next week, I mean, I don't think there's any reason to be like, oh, is Travis Kelce washed because he only had 20-some yards? I just think, again, it was a defensive-heavy matchup by both sides of the ball. And with that, I think, you know, Travis Kelce struggled a bit. But, you know, again, the Chiefs got the job done on the road, too. I mean, sure, Jacksonville with Everbank Stadium, they're, it's not that crazy home field advantage. I'd say they're definitely down on the list of good home stadiums, but still, it's tough to win on the road in any situation, especially down in a hot, humid place like Jacksonville.
Do they still have that pool in their stadium?
They do. Cool. But I think they're building a new one. I don't know. They might be one of the many teams rumored or confirmed that they're in the process of at least getting renderings and all that out. I know the Bills are one of the teams that plan to get a new stadium. So I think Jacksonville might be looking at a new one, which is a good idea because, again, their stadium with those pools, it's interesting, but, you know, it's definitely one of a kind, I would say. But looking over now to a hometown team here in Pendleton, Indiana, the Indianapolis Colts. They had a divisional matchup on the road facing off against the Houston Texans. Final score of that one, 31-20. Colts got it done. Anthony Richardson went down with a concussion. Wait, yeah, right?
That sounds right.
Yeah, I think he went down with a concussion. But yeah, I'm looking here. Gardner Minshew had well more attempts with Gardner than Anthony Richardson. But I mean, Texans, I just think they're not that good. I will say CJ Stroud, man, I didn't realize CJ Stroud's stat line, 30-47 in the air, 384 yards passing. I didn't realize he had that good of a game and 2 touchdowns. So, man, if you're going to walk away from this game for as a Texans fan, I'm saying, sheesh, CJ Stroud looked real good. Then for the Colts, I mean, Gardner Minshew, he had 171 yards and a touchdown. Of course, Anthony Richardson, I was just mentioning, went out early. He was 6-10. He only took 10 pass snaps, and then he had 56 yards. But the big name for Indianapolis is Zach Moss on that one. Zach Moss, 18 carries, 88 yards, and a touchdown. So great job in that part. And then on top of that, wasn't it was it this game or was it last game that the Colts had the touchdown recovered? Yeah.
It was this game.
I think it was this
game. The guy held it. And he thought
he thought the play was, the whistle was blown. Yeah. He
definitely got yelled at in practice. That, I don't know. That's just weird. They say play to the whistle, and the whistle wasn't blown, and they just kept going.
Yeah, yeah. So that was weird. But the Colts, I mean, again, great job getting it done. And on the road, again, it doesn't matter who the matchup is. A road game is going to be tough. And again, I just don't think the Texans are that good of a team at the end of the day.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. I was only a fan of them for occasional ones.
Were you a Texas fan?
I only liked J.J. Watt. And then whenever he moved teams and then he retired, I just have no interest.
Yeah, J.J. Watt, man, he was crazy in his prime. I saw an interview with him on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, and whew. I mean, I saw some of his clips are just unreal. He was like, I guess you could say the Aaron Donald before Aaron Donald. He was just one of those generational pass rushers. But another game I want to look at here, Green Bay Packers were on the road against the Atlanta Falcons. Green Bay, of course, they won week one, took down the Bears, and it was definitely a good debut. Of course, the Bears heading into this season, they were looked at as a team that they could surprise some eyes. At least a lot of people thought there would be a team that they'd be, oh, this team could be a secret sleeper. But I think those assumptions were quickly brought down. The Packers, of course, destroyed them week one. And then now you head out on the road to Atlanta and you lose. Falcons 25-24, taking down the Green Bay Packers. Falcons now 2-0 on the season. A hot start for the young Atlanta team. Desmond Ridder, 19-32, 237 yards. touchdown and an interception, but Bijan Robinson, the rookie, looked real good. 19 carries, 124 yards. Didn't have a touchdown, though, but this Atlanta team, I think these first two games, you got what a lot of people expected out of them, and that's a run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Bijan Robinson, 19 carries. Tyler Allgeier, 16, and then Desmond Ridder, the quarterback, 10 carries. I'm sure some of those were on design plays. Some of them, he was just scrambling around, but I think the problem with a rush-heavy team, and what I was actually listening to on that Pat McAfee podcast, was that the Falcons, they can't do it when they're trailing. Like, they struggle. They did it. Heading into the fourth quarter, they were down by, let me just quickly do the math here, 14, no, it would have been down by 11 points? I don't know. But they put up 13 points in the fourth quarter, and they won by 1 point, whatever that math is. It's the end of the day, right? I'm done with math for the day. But yeah, so I guess the Atlanta, they did get the comeback. But I think I would assume that a team that's running the ball 45 times a game, they're going to struggle to make a comeback. But I think the Packers, their run defense is definitely their weak link. And Jordan Love, he looked good. He had 3 touchdowns, 151 yards. And I don't know. I'm not on the Jordan Love as a franchise quarterback train just yet. I know that there is a train, sure enough, but I'm not on that just yet. But if he continues to play like this, I'm not sure how long it'll take for me not to hop on that bandwagon, because Love's looking really good.
This is a weird game because Aaron Jones, he's out, I'm assuming. I don't see him anywhere on the box score.
Yeah, he was not playing, yeah.
Yeah, I'm assuming Christian Watson was also out because I don't see him on the box score either. And Dontavian Wicks has most of the yards, receiving yards for this game.
Yeah, he only had 2 receptions, though, so he was definitely downfield target.
I have never heard of that guy in my life. So, I mean, the Packers are a little banged up, but Bijan Robinson, he's living up to that. Whatever, you know, position he was picked at, I think 8, 7.
8, yeah, it was 8.
They also spreaded the ball around pretty well. Drake London had 6 receptions. I don't like, Kyle Pitts is got 2 receptions for 15 yards. They are not using him appropriately.
Yeah.
I don't know. You said you can't run the defense when you're trailing. They have Tyler Allgeier, yeah. I'm a big fan of him. And, like, he had 1,000 yards last year. Uh-huh. And he got 16 carries. Bijan got 19. Bijan obviously had way more yards than him. So, I mean, if I'm a Falcons fan, I'm pretty excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always grew up Falcons, like, my household. But looking at, like, team stats, overall, the Falcons had better stats compared to Green Bay during that game.
Yeah. For Green Bay, as you mentioned there with the receiving core, I think what the Packers are trying to do this year is they're just trying to throw in as many receivers, all these young guys that, yes, some of these names are recognizable. Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, their rookie. Of course, the running backs getting in there for some receptions as well. But I think what they're trying to do is just get all the 8 receivers at a game. Just get them all snaps. And then eventually a couple will start to creep out as, you know, leaders of the pack. And then you got your guys. Because I think that's what the Packers are taking it. And I like that. I like that. And they all look very good. They're young. They're athletic. Each and every single one of their wide receivers. And I think heading into this year, it was kind of like, Jordan Love has no weapons. He's young. He's going to struggle. But I think he does. I think all these guys can be weapons. And, you know, they're in the NFL for a reason. It's not like only the top guys are good, right? Every single player on an NFL roster is the best of the best. So I think Packers are definitely taking that mentality heading into things. Another big, big game this week heading into it, especially, was Baltimore Ravens at Cincinnati Bengals. Another divisional matchup. Ravens won that one 27-24. And man, the Bengals, tough, tough start. 0-2. Hate to say it, but if there's anyone with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase on your fantasy team, I would hate to be you, because that's my dad. My dad has both of those guys, and he's not happy. So, that's a bummer, but I'm not on the Joe Burrow's in trouble, because Burrow had an okay game. He was 27 for 41, 222 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. If they got the win, I think the media will be saying Burrow's fine, but just because they lost, which, yes, the quarterback has to take a large part of that, a large fall to that, But I think just because they lost, a lot of people are saying, oh, Burrow's in trouble. No, I think he had an okay game. And the Ravens defense, it is tough. The Ravens defense is so good. I love the Ravens defense. Smith on the linebacker, Roquan Smith, he's a dog. They're very good safeties with Marcus Williams and Kyle Hamilton, the sophomore. So I think that, yes, the Bengals, I'm not like completely saying they're going to be fine, but I'm not completely saying it's panic mode. You shouldn't press the panic button. You still have your core, and I think it'll be all right. You'll win a game. I think I give them 2 more weeks. If anyone listening has Joe Burrow or Ja'Marr Chase, my piece of advice is I give them 1 more week. And if they still struggle, then I'd start to panic. That's what I try to always that's my mentality for fantasy. I give 3 weeks, and if a player is flat for all 3 weeks, then I'm looking for trades. So I'm not completely out on the Bengals. And for the Ravens, I mean, Lamar, he looked like good old Lamar, right? 24 for 33, 237 yards in the air, 2 touchdowns, 54 yards on the ground throughout for 12 carries. So Ravens, yep, got the job done. And that was at Cincinnati. So yeah, big win for the Ravens.
Well, personally, looking at like my fantasy team,
yeah,
I had T. Higgins. He did amazing for Cincinnati.
Ooh, yeah,
giving me almost 29 points, which was really good. But I also have Baltimore's defense. Not the best defense I was looking for, only 3 points. But I still say they're doing a good job this year, but I would have liked for them to see, like, do better.
Yeah.
I'm not worried if I was the Bengals. So 2022, they started with 2 losses, and then they got 2 wins right after that. And I'm pulling up 2021s right now. I'm just saying they've seen this before, and they definitely have a lot of work to do.
Yep.
But I wouldn't be worried at all as a Bengals fan. Yeah, so they started 2021, the Super Bowl year, 1-1. So they lost in overtime to the Minnesota Vikings. But, I mean, they won in overtime. So, I mean, it was close. But, yeah, I'm not worried at all.
Yeah. It's so tough at these beginning seasons because you always have this every year. Was it 2 years ago that the Raiders started like 4-0? They started like had a phenomenal start, and Derek Carr looked like he could be like an MVP, late MVP, and then they didn't even make the playoffs. So it's NFL, it's always an ever-changing game, and it's never like this team is good. I mean, obviously it will be, but there are going to be teams flying up and down the boards, and it's tough to get set.
The Cardinals, like 2 years ago, they went like 9-0.
Yeah, the Cardinals had a really good start a couple of years ago, and they finished so flat. And Kyler Murray was an MVP candidate a couple of years ago, and he obviously his job, I would say, is at stake now. So
we mentioned it this episode. It's a game by game thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You could play great one game and terrible the next.
Yeah, it's a matchup. It's all about matchups. And I think, again, the Bengals will find their rhythm, their game plan. And my guess, my prediction is that they'll hit the ground running, looking like the good old last year best offense candidate for the best offense in the league. I want to look here at probably one of my favorite games and the only game to go into overtime this week. The Seahawks over at the Detroit Lions played on Ford Field. Final score of that one, Seahawks 37, Detroit Lions 31. Again, Seahawks won that game in overtime. And yeah, that was obviously very, very good game. Any game that goes into overtime is fun to watch. And on top of that, it was a shootout between Geno Smith and Jared Goff. You could say the two surprising quarterbacks of last year, right? Of course, Geno was the big surprise last year. Really bad career, joining Cincinnati, replacing Russell Wilson, having high expectations. He lived up to him, had a phenomenal season. And then Jared Goff, kind of the same role, right? You're living up to Matthew Stafford, the beloved Matthew Stafford, who's been on their team for since he was drafted up until, of course, he got traded. And he had a great season. I think he finished in top 10 of each statistic, of course, just barely missed the playoffs. But it was a shootout between those two. For Geno Smith and the Seahawks, they had 328 yards passing, 2 touchdowns in the air. And then for the Detroit Lions, Jared Goff was 28 for 35 and had 323 yards passing with 3 touchdowns. Did have a pick, though. So, yeah, again, both of those quarterbacks played very, very, very well. All on top of that, Kenneth Walker had 2 touchdowns on the ground. I have him on 2 of my fantasy teams. So I was a happy man again with him popping off. And I think I always watch Red Zone now, especially this week, which if anyone listening doesn't know, NFL Red Zone is pretty much like they change the channels for you. That's how I always describe it. Whenever there's a big play, whenever there's a big touchdown, there's like a host who will be like, all right, let's go over here. And then we'll talk about this game and they'll flip over here. I enjoy it, especially my favorite team, the Saints, they played on Monday night. So they only do red zone for Sunday games. So I didn't have to watch the Saints or anything. So I was just kind of looking all over the place. And yeah, out of the plays I saw, I think the Seahawks and the Lions had the best game of the week. Of course, as I was mentioning, going into overtime, that's always a fun one. And Lions, you know, you start 1-1, but you just beat the Chiefs. I still think the Lions are going to be my favorites for the NFC North. Yeah, NFC North. Sorry. I think they're still my favorites for that division. And then the Seahawks, you know, you got the win. You're now 1-1, 1-1, excuse me.
I'd be pretty happy if I was a Seahawks fan. My dad's a Seahawks fan. He was pretty happy.
Yeah.
Geno Smith had an absolute game. 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. What I saw that kind of stuck out to me as I'm looking at the box score, Lions had 2 fumbles lost. Seahawks had none and no interceptions. So just no turnovers, period. And Lions had 3. You can't really win a football game like that. I'm sure that's kind of a common theme this week. I'm sure ball safety is going to get taught at that practice. So just not clean football. I don't know what to say.
That winning touchdown was Tyler Lockett. Yeah, he had 2 touchdowns. I just traded away Tyler Lockett in one of my leagues. We were talking about that before. It was an iffy trade. We'll just take a quick break, talk about some fantasy here. I traded away Tyler Lockett and, oh my gosh, I was just talking to you guys about it. Who else did I trade?
Mike Evans?
Yes. No. No, it was Tyler Lockett and Swift, I think, for Amari Cooper. And then I did trade away Mike Evans, but that was in another trade. So, you know, Tyler Lockett, I think Tyler Lockett's the type of guy who he's going to get you 20 points 1 week, but then he'll get you 2 receptions in that week. Because what I notice about Seahawks is they always, one of their receivers always does really well. I mean, DK Metcalf played good as well, but at least when it comes to touchdowns, one of their receivers like always gets it. I don't know. Maybe that's like completely wrong, but that's just what I see. So I thought I'm going to sell high on Tyler Lockett, get Amari Cooper, a guy who I think I'd be much more comfortable in on my flex for the rest of the season. Of course, with Nick Chubb, oh man, what an injury. We'll talk about that here soon. But with Nick Chubb out, I think Amari Cooper, his stock will be going up. So I made that trade and feeling pretty good about fantasy. My school league here, not our Weem league, but my school league I have with friends, started 2-0, and I drafted Jonathan Taylor and Alvin Kamara. So I'm scraping, but I'm getting by. Started 2-0, and then for my family league, I'm 1-1. I think for my Weem league, I'm 1-1 as well. I just faced Zion, put up 160 against me. I put up 130. I thought I'm doing good until I saw it. Zion put up 160. I mean, I can't be mad at that.
Mike Evans and TJ Hawkinson, they put up almost 30 each.
Yeah, that's what did it, I think. I think that's what did it.
I like that trade that you said with Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett's 30, and they just drafted Jaxon Smith-Njigba. And, I mean, he's going to start playing higher and higher as he gets older. And they got DK Metcalf, which is obviously their wide receiver 1. So that's just, it makes sense.
Another game I want to look at. Let's see, which one first? We'll talk about the Giants game first. Giants, Arizona. Kind of the battle of mid teams, I guess you could say, especially week 1 mid teams. Of course, Giants coming off of a just absolute horrendous week 1 performance against the Cowboys where they lost 40-0. But you were facing the Cardinals, right? You thought it'd be an easy win. The Cardinals, worst team in the league. They got no Kyler Murray. Dobbs is their starting quarterback. In my opinion, the Cardinals, it's pretty obvious their front office at least, and maybe not their coach and maybe not their players, but it's pretty obvious they want to lose, right? Like, I think there are just so many better quarterbacks than Joshua Dobbs, but Dobbs looked really good. Dobbs, in those first couple quarters, heading into halftime, Cardinals were up 20-0 over the Giants. But the Giants, I think I saw it tied a program record for a comeback of all time. So Giants, of course, probably the biggest comeback of the week. Daniel Jones, final stats, 321 yards in the air, 2 touchdowns and 1 pick, and then Saquon, of course, he was injured there late in the game. Hurts for me. I have him in one of my fantasy leagues, but he still had a nice game, 63 yards and a touchdown on top of that. And I think he got some reception game as well. Yeah, 6 receptions and a receiving touchdown. I don't even see that. So, yeah, he had a really good week. But again, Giants, you know, you got the comeback. Cardinals sucks for you, but I think that's just one step closer to that first overall pick. Maybe, I don't know. It's obviously very far down the line, but Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison Jr. might be coming your way. And I think that's the only thing as a Cardinals fan. If I was a Cardinals fan, I'm not. If I was, that's the only thing I'd be looking forward to.
Yeah. Joshua Dobbs, what a dog.
Yeah.
You saw that rushing touchdown. I was also watching Red Zone. Yeah, he had a nice rushing touchdown. He played great. 228 yards, 1 touchdown, no picks. I mean, James Conner had 100 yards. I don't know how they didn't put this away at halftime. You said they were up by 20?
Yep, 20-0. Yeah.
That's just... Maybe that's a coaching issue at that point. I mean, I didn't watch this game fully, so I don't really know. But that's you can't. That's not good at all.
Yeah, tough. We'll go ahead. We're kind of running low on time here, so we'll skip over the game I wanted to look over, Washington-Denver. Only thing I have to say there, it was a Hail Mary. Denver, they got it. It was a caught by Marvin Mims in the end zone. But Marvin Mims, I think it was. Maybe not. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. It was some Denver wide receiver. So they got the Hail Mary. Crazy good play. It was a tipped. It was tipped in the air and caught in the end zone, but they couldn't get the 2-point conversion, which I thought was a pass interference. But I'm not a Denver fan, but you know, I kind of cheer for him because of Sean Payton, of course, a former Saints head coach. For the New England Miami game, of course, Zion, the New England fan. Tough game, but it was a close one, right? 24-17 final score. You were at home, though. I picked the Patriots to win in the ESPN pick-ems, but you know, you couldn't get it done. And I don't know exactly the stats for the Patriots, but you only put up 17 points. It looked like Mac Jones had a game, I guess is the best way to describe it. And then Raheem Stevenson looked meh as well. So defense looked okay, though, because, man, Dolphins offense, you hold them for 24 points. That's a win. I mean, they are just so fast. They fast-paced, high-speed offense. Defense looked okay, and I think that's just the expertise of Bill Belichick.
So the kind of story of the game here is they kind of just locked up the receivers, and Raheem Mostert had 121 yards and 2 touchdowns. Yeah. I don't think they were expecting that to happen, and that hurts, but it's all you can do. Christian Gonzalez, the first-round draft pick for the Patriots, he had an interception right over Tyreek Hill. That was pretty nice, and the defense played fine, but it's just not good.
Yeah, I love Christian Gonzalez. I think he's going to be really good very, very quickly. And as you mentioned there, locking up Tyreek Hill on that pick. Yeah, Raheem Mostert, a dude out of Purdue, he's definitely a speedy guy. And as you mentioned, Patriots definitely felt that firsthand. Finally, I want to talk about the Monday night game, Browns-Steelers. Steelers won 26-22, and what was funny about this game is I think Browns led the Steelers, and I'm pretty sure like every single offensive team stat, like possible first downs, time of possession, total yards, like the Browns led the Steelers in every single one of those, but the Steelers still got the win. Of course, defense was locked down. I think two defensive touchdowns. I'm pretty sure there was one pick six of the first drive, and then there was a scoop and score. Alex Highsmith forced the fumble. TJ Watt scooped it up, had his first NFL touchdown. So Brown Steelers defense looked really, really good. And I think that was definitely the reason of this win. I mean, Harrison didn't do much. Pickens had a very good game, though. 4 receptions, 127 yards and a touchdown. And then Pickett looked as well. So defense definitely wins this game for the Steelers.
I would definitely agree with that. My dad personally is the biggest Browns fan possible.
Yeah.
And just like looking at like offensive stats, though, Browns led, but Steelers defense, they carried the whole game, like with TJ Watt, especially.
Steelers defense is the big part on their team. They got TJ Watt, and nothing's coming to mind at the moment, but you know, some big playmakers on that. And then that Nick Chubb injury did not help at all.
Oof, yeah.
So
yeah, speaking on the Nick Chubb injury, of course, you know, it's bad when like the commentators are like, yeah, we're not going to show that. Like that's when it's oof. Mm-hmm. And I almost want to say unfortunately, because again, it's just such an ugly injury. Yeah. But I unfortunately saw the replay on Instagram a couple times, and it is just one of those like kind of cringe at it. But it's the game, right? And it's just what the players do for our entertainment, which is kind of wild to say. But I think you see one, any person saying, oh, NFL athletes, they get paid too much. You see one of those, and I don't think they're getting paid enough because, yeah, man, especially running backs, because it's ugly. And as we were talking about there before the pod, before we started recording, kind of like the unfortunate, I guess you could say, curse of Monday Night Football. Because if you look back on the last four Monday Nights Football.
Yeah, I was looking at this post, like, I found it on Instagram. It was saying, like, the last three games was, like, the other night was Nick Chubb with a possible career-ending knee injury. And then last week we had Aaron Rodgers with his Achilles. And then going back on last season, we had the incident with DeMar Hamlin and his cardiac arrest.
Yeah, and then on top of that, before that, I'm pretty sure the Monday Night Football before the DeMar Hamlin was Kyler Murray's ACL tear. So that's four in a row, which again, it's so sad to say, and it's kind of a depressing topic, but yeah, it's kind of like, oh, the Monday night, it's like, is this like, I don't know. Is this like a curse? But, you know, it's just, I think it's just the game of football at the end of the day. And yeah, it's really unfortunate to see Nick Chubb. I mean, the only, I wouldn't say, I think it's, is it confirmed season ending?
Yes.
It is confirmed. Definitely season ending.
I mean, I don't think he's going to play again.
Yeah. I don't know.
He blew out the same knee in Georgia and had to have it reconstructed.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember my friend talking to me about that, and that's scary with doing that. But I mean, I saw his post and it was like, Adrian Peterson, he had a very bad knee injury. I don't think it was as bad as Nick Chubb's, but the year after he came back from his injury, he had the MVP season. So, you know, that's a little hope, I guess you could say. Hopefully Nick Chubb, you know, repeats history there. But again, yeah, as you mentioned, I totally forgot, honestly, that his Georgia injury back in his college years. And considering that's pretty much the same area in his leg, that is definitely just scary to see. And yeah, we see it quite a bit in football. Again, it's definitely a sad topic, but Browns, I mean, I guess based on Nick Chubb, as I was mentioning earlier, you can kind of take that for fantasy side of things. And as I was mentioning, Amari Cooper, pick him up. Jermaine Ford, pick him up.
So I picked up Kareem Hunt.
And Kareem Hunt.
Because they just signed him.
Yeah, I think that's a big signing. And I think that's huge. I think it was 100% hands down the best decision for the Browns because he knows the system. Like he's the type of guy he's going to walk in that facility. He doesn't have to be like, okay, I have to learn these plays. Say they signed a guy like Leonard Fournette, who's also on free agency. He'd have to learn all these plays and learn the system. Kareem Hunt can walk in there and it'll be like he never left. So I think that was a very smart move by the Browns GM. I'm interested to see though, the split between Jermaine Ford and Kareem Hunt. Cause remember Ford, he put up 20 fantasy points even after Nick Chubb left, which was not that was early in the game, but not that early. Like Jermaine Ford put up quite a few stats early on. He had 16 carries, 106 yards. So I don't know. I'm interested to see the split they get. But with that, I think that'll be all the time we have. But once again, alongside Zon Palmieri and Emily Pulley, I'm Dawson Perry. We hope you all enjoyed. We'll be having new episodes every week. So far, it's fall time, so we'll be talking a lot of football. But as the season and as the year goes forward, we'll probably talk a bit more about NBA. Of course, their season will be starting up here in a couple months. And on top of that, maybe some other sports. Again, we'll just do much. But for now, it's going to be a lot about NFL. But again, we hope you all enjoyed. Tune in next week. Every single Friday, we'll be having episodes. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Talk 91.7 WEEM.